Psalms 104, verse 30, says, "Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. He looked on the earth and it trembled. He touched the hill and they smoke. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord, all my soul. Praise ye the Lord."
Amen. Amen.
Precious Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Father God, for giving us a desire to praise you and to worship you and to want to sing unto your holy name. Father, we thank you for the life of David, Father God, and the lessons that we can learn from him. But one of the great lessons we learn from David is that David loved to praise the Lord. Amen. Father God, we ask that you give us that same determination that you gave David, that we will be determined to praise the Lord. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I started last week teaching about the life of David, about why God called David a man after my own heart. And we know David, as we found out last week, loved the word of God. David loved the word of God. He said, "I meditate on the word of God day and night." Day and night, David loved the word of God. But when I started looking at his life, and we know David loved the word of God, we know David loved to pray, but one thing that really just jumped off at me, David loved to praise the Lord.
Amen.
David loved to praise the Lord. And he was determined. As we looked at the text that I read today, there was a determination in David. I was talking about a little bit in Sunday school. So it seemed like all my sermons in the Sunday school lessons seem to run together. Amen. But there has to be a determination. For someone to praise God, there has to be a determination. Okay, and we praise a lot of things. We praise a lot of things, and the world is trying hard to get our praise. Why? Because praising God is important to God. How we praise God as children of God, as people of God, as a church, as a congregation, is important to God. And Satan knows that. The enemy knows that if we stop praising God, we stop existing as Christians.
Amen.
David was determined to praise God. And I guess I would challenge you and myself today, and you hear me up here trying hard to praise God in song, and I'm singing more, and I'm almost had drinks of water today because my voice was crackling. I was trying to sing so hard because the lesson challenged me. The lesson confronted me. As I studied this and prepared this sermon, it challenged me and it confronted me and it confronted my life. And am I a praiser? Do I praise God? And when I say praise God, I don't mean singing so much. Okay? You know, we can sing and not be praising God.
Amen.
Okay? But do I praise God? In verse 33, I seen a determination in David. David said in verse 33, he said, "I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being." And that's the verse that really jumped out at me. Because David, what he's saying is, there are going to be good times.
Amen.
And there are going to be bad times in this life. And David went through a lot of challenges. But what he said here, as long as I live, I'm going to praise God.
Amen.
In the good times. And in the bad times, I'm going to praise God. And when it comes to, when something happens to me, a conflict comes up, or a trial comes up, or an adversity comes up, the first thing I believe David did was to praise God. To praise God. That's what he said. He said, "My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. I was saying earlier, God is a jealous God.
Amen.
He's jealous about who we give our praise to. Why? Because he desires it. He desires our praise. And I guess the question is, how do we praise God? How do we praise God? How do we praise God? And the lesson comes from David. David said, it was a continual thing for me. I praise God all the day long. And you know what? David praised God all the day long. So when you're praising God all the day long, guess what you can't do? You can't praise nothing else.
Amen.
You can't praise nothing else. And when things came up, David praised God. Situation come up, David praised God. Why? Because David didn't leave room for anything else. He didn't want to do anything else but praise God. And I use the illustration, you know, this is one that I really love, and it's about Paul. And I think Paul learned a lot from David. But Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and you guys are familiar with it. And Paul says this, and I, brother, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. For I determined, as that word, not to know anything among you, say Jesus Christ and him crucified. What's Paul saying? And how does this relate to David? Paul said, hey, listen, I ain't got time for all this other stuff. Okay? I don't got time for all this other stuff. There's a whole lot of stuff going on. I don't have time for it. And if we're going to be good at anything, we have to be determined. There's a determination. If there's challenges in our life, we want to be good at something, we got to be determined. We live in a generation now where everybody gets a trophy.
Yeah.
Everybody, a participation trophy. Listen, folks. If you want to be great at praising God, if you want to be great at worshiping God, if you want to be great at anything, there has to be a determination in you. And this determination that Paul had, he said, I'm determined not to know anything. Paul couldn't write 2/3 of the Word of God if he was caught up in politics.
Mm-hmm.
If he was caught up in all the stuff that you see going on in the world, don't think it just started today. It started years ago. It was going on in Paul's day. They had sports in Paul's day. They had politics in Paul's day. They had all kinds of stuff going on in Paul's day. But Paul said, I was determined. Okay? To preach Jesus Christ, him crucified. David said, as long as I live, I will praise the Lord. As long as I live. But look at this verse here. It shows David's love for God's word. In Psalms 119:64, this is what David said about praising the Lord. He said, 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. And you know what? Some of God's judgments against David was tough. God was tough on David, okay? But you know what? David praised him anyway. And sometimes God will be tough on us, and we'll be going through some things, and you'll say, well, God, you know, God, lighten up a little bit, okay? But God's being tough on David made David do what? Praise him more. Praise him more. When he said 7 times a day, what he really mean is perpetual. All day I praise God. All day I praise God. Good things happen, I praise God. Bad things happen, I praise God. If nothing is happening, I praise God. David was a praiser. He was a praiser. He praised God. And I just want to read a lot of verses today. A lot of scripture. Because when you talk about David praising God, the whole book of Psalms is about David praising God. And why he praised God. David says this in Psalms 95. He says, oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. We've been talking about salvation already in this service today. The rock of our salvation. Okay? David knew that God was going to keep him. No matter what went on in David's life, David knew that God was the rock of his salvation. Unmovable. He said, let us come together. Let us come before his presence. How? With thanksgiving. And make a joyful noise unto him with song. Why? For the Lord is a great God and a great king above all gods. And the world was full of gods at David's time. Little gods. Okay, little gods that pester at us and try to get our attention, but they can't save you.
Amen.
The God that Jeremy was praying about for Sister Shirley, these gods can't heal you. David loved to praise God because God had been kind to David. How you mean, Pastor? What do you mean, David? God was kind to David. David should have died for his sins. David committed adultery, and in the Old Testament, adultery was worthy of death. They caught the woman in adultery, they're going to stone her. David should have been stoned. David killed the woman's husband. David should have been stoned again. But God showed David grace in a time where there was no grace. There was no grace in the law. The law required that you die, David. And David came to the Lord and asked God for grace in a time of no grace. And God was graceful to David. God showed David grace. Listen, Jesus was a praiser. And some folks say, well, you know, who did Jesus praise? Jesus praised God. Mm-hmm. People say, what do you mean, Pastor? Jesus praised God. Jesus was a praiser. People say, well, you know, Jesus sang. People say, well, there's nothing. Yes, it is in the Bible. Jesus sang. He sang. And he sang praises to the Lord. And someone say, well, you know, show me. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And they said, well, what's a hymn? A hymn is a song that gives God glory. And we sing hymns. Hymns are songs that give God glory, that magnify God. What did they sing? Psalms 113 is probably what they sang. Most scholars said they sang Psalm 113. When Jesus and the disciples went out after they took communion and they sung a hymn, here's what they sang. Praise ye the Lord. Praise all ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. That's what Jesus and his disciples sang. How about that? All you servants of the Lord. You know what? When I look at that, that's not a suggestion. If you're a child of God, servant of God, there's a demand, there's a command that we sing. That we sing praises to the Lord. Now, don't get me confused. We're not talking about ripping and running and just acting up in church. And a lot of people think praise is just craziness. Well, we praising God and craziness. Listen, there's a praise that requires that we have an understanding of what we're doing. Okay? Yeah. Stay with me now on this. Watch what David says. Because David knew that there would be foolishness, carelessness in our praise. David said this in Psalms 47. He says, sing praises to God. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. Now he's adamant about the fact that we need to praise God. Okay? Singing is a big part of what goes on in the church. Singing was a big part of David's life. And if David was a man after God's own heart, and all of us should be, we ought to be praising. We ought to be singing. We ought to be singing praises to God. Okay? We ought to be singing praises to God. Now watch what he says at the end of Psalms 46, 47. He says, sing praises with understanding. How about that? Well, what's he saying now? What's God saying? What's David saying? He said, we ought not just be up here playing. He said, there's a business part of praising God. You got to know what you're singing. And then you got to know the God you're singing to. See, everybody can't just get up and sing. And I think this would throw people off. Folks that like to sing, and that's fine. But there's ought to be an instructive part of your singing. And I would always tell Sister Claire, listen, make sure they understand what they're singing. Okay, don't have them singing something they don't understand. You have to understand what you're singing. Okay? This is serious business. The choirs and the singing is serious business. That's what David's saying. He says, sing praises with understanding. You know, in the Corinthian church, and again, in the Corinthian church, folks came in. And you hear in 1 Corinthians 14, and we're going to get there on Wednesday night. Folks would just come into the church, and they would just start speaking in tongues. Okay? Now, we had people come in here, and unbeknown to me, they would get up and speak, and then they start speaking in tongues. Nobody in here understood what they said. And the speaker didn't understand what they were saying. They were just making noise. And what happens a lot of times in the choir, if you don't understand what you're singing, and if you don't know the God that you're singing to, and you don't know the God of Israel, you don't know the God that's able to save your soul, guess what? You're singing without understanding. You're making noise. Watch this now. I'm just going to go to 1 Corinthians 14. Because Paul's saying you need to sing with understanding. David is saying you need to sing with understanding. Sing with understanding. He said, wherefore, let him that speak in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Come on now. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit pray, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit and I will pray with understanding also. I will sing with the spirit and I will sing with understanding also. It's important that we sing and that we sing with understanding. Someone say, understanding what? Understanding who God is. Who God is. Let me share a song with you. Now we know it, and we could probably hum it, but have you ever really listened to the words? This is a classic. This is a classic. You know, and I had to listen to it. I had my what you call it, Alexa. I say, Alexa, play this. Play A Mighty Fortress is Our God. And I just listened to it, and I never really studied the words of it. I could sing it out of the hymn book, but singing with understanding. Listen, I'm just going to read it. It says, a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing, for still our ancient foe, who's our ancient foe, do seek to work us woe. That's the devil. His craft and power are great. This guy's talking about the devil. He's talking about our ancient foe, the devil. His craft and his power are great, and armed with cruel hate on earth is not his equal. Anybody ever looked at that song like that? A mighty fortress is our God. And we just go on through it without really understanding. Let me keep going. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not for the right man on our side, the man of God on choosing. To ask who that may be, Christ Jesus is he, Lord Sabbath his name, from age to age to say, he must win the battle. What's this guy talking about? The only way we're going to deal with this foe, this ancient foe, the devil, is through Jesus Christ. Okay? That's classic. Let me keep going. You do this when you go home. Some of you got serious radio. You got it on the phone. Just say, play Mighty Fortress. Listen to it a couple times. And then you'll understand what David meant when he says, sing with understanding. Because we sing a lot of stuff. We just going through the motions. Watch this now. Third stanza. He said, and though this world with devils filled. This is an old song. Should threaten to undo us. We will not fear, for God have willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fail him. How about that? Am I going too fast? You getting an understanding what it means to sing with understanding? Because God's going to put a choir here. And we're going to sing, okay? If it's just Deacon Jeremy and myself, we're going to put a choir together. Because we got to sing praises to the Lord. And I don't mean when we're in the choir together, we're going to clown. We're going to sing because it's important that we sing praises to the Lord. It's important that we sing. Okay? Why is it important? Because David was a man after God's own heart. And God loved David because David was a man after his own heart. And David was a praiser. And if we're going to be a man or women after God's own heart, what we need to do?
Praise him.
You can tell a lot about who you are in Christ by how you praise. We all scattered all over the church. Why do you think choirs are all close together? You sing better. You sing better. Let me get the last stanza of this great, great hymn. He said, that word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The spirit and the gifts are ours through him whom with us sided, let goods be kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill, God's truth abideth still, his kingdom is forever. And that's a classic song, but a difficult read. And we sing it probably better than I read it. Why should we sing? Because God requires that we praise him. Watch this, Psalm 96. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from this day. Declare his glory among the heathen, all wonders among the people. What do you mean sing a new song? God gives us a song to sing every day. Every single day that you live as children of God, you got something to praise God about. It's a new song. It's a new song. Did God give you a new song today? Think about it. I sit here and I ain't seen Roy in a long time. Talk to him on the phone. Haven't seen him in a long time. You know what? Made my heart feel good when I see him walk through the door.
Amen.
Okay? Hadn't seen Mike in a long time. Came to church last week, brought his two boys, and I was good to see him. Then to see him come back today, this week. Give me a new song to sing.
Amen.
Give me a new song to sing. God gives us new songs to sing every day. Listen. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Why? Because his compassions fail not. They are what? New every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. God gives us something to sing about every single day. Okay? We might not think so. But I'm sure when Jackie wake up and the babies wake up, you sing all day. Something to sing about. Babies are woke. Now I say that. Because they live in Camel and Allen's in here and watching the news and there's a man in Camel. Stabbed this baby in the neck. I don't even know what happened. I stabbed. Woke up, the baby dead. I stabbed him in the neck. I mean, that's crazy stuff. And now imagine what I thought when I first read that. Imagine what went through my mind when I first read that. Because I know some people I love live in Camel. Got a new song? Praising the Lord. Praise him, praising the Lord. It should just be natural for the child of God. Seriously. You know, and you can ask yourself, is it just natural for me to sing? What comes natural to you is who you are. Okay? Is it natural for you to sing? Think about that. Remember Paul and Silas? They was in jail. You know, I love these jail stories in the Bible. Okay, I love these jail stories in the Bible. But Paul and Silas was in jail for one, for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay, they in jail, Acts 16 and 25. They in jail, they didn't got beaten and scores. Now they praised in the stocks and life is bad. But you know what? They had an internal clock going on. And know what time it was? It was praise time. It was praise time. And their internal clock went off and Paul said, or Silas said to Paul, you know we ought to be praying. And it's time for us to praise the Lord time. And I'm pretty sure, you know, in a situation like that, and all those other prisoners around there, and Paul and them started talking, just to start talking and praying, you know, most likely those other inmates probably told them, shut up, we trying to sleep. Okay? And folks will tell you all that. Amen. You know, and this is why it's in on YouTube, the choir. And folks don't want to hear. We don't want to hear. We don't want to practice. We don't want to work out. We don't want to do that. Because the world's always telling us not to praise God. That's all the world needs to do. That's all the world knows to do. Don't praise God. You know, don't take all that. It don't take all that. It don't take all that. How often do you hear it? It take all that and more. But here's Paul and Silas. Now they locked up. They in the stocks. And at midnight,
come on now.
and the inmate said, "Shut up." And Paul and Silas said, "We getting ready to rock this place." Okay? We getting ready to rock this place. And they go, ain't nobody gonna stop Paul from praising. Nobody gonna stop David from praising. Nobody gonna stop Paul from praising. And nobody should stop you.
Amen.
Or me.
Amen.
Okay? See, some people say, we don't go to church, and Pastor Neil see us, but a few people in church, he ain't going to preach. Listen, let me tell y'all something. Okay? And where two or more gather in my name. And if ain't but two of us show up, and I'm almost guaranteed two of us going to show up because Cindy's going to come. Okay? And she going on vacation. Another one. So y'all got to show up next week or she's going to be out of town. but here's Paul and Silas at midnight. And midnight can mean a lot of things. It can mean a dark time. And this was a dark time. And you're going to have some dark times. And all of us in here have some dark times.
Amen.
But the dark times can't stop us from doing what? Praising God. And it was dark.
Amen.
And Paul and Silas prayed first. They prayed first. I wonder what they prayed. I wonder what they prayed. I can only imagine that they prayed for all those inmates to hear the word of God. They probably prayed, God, you got us in here, but you don't have us in here for nothing. Okay?
Amen.
You got us in here for a reason, and we're going to pray right now for all these individuals in here. All these hellbound criminals in here. Let them know, Father God, that you came to seek and to save the lost, and they lost. They need Jesus. They need the Lord. Even if they die in these cells, they still need the Lord because life still lives on after they die. And I'm pretty sure Paul and them probably pray something like that. Them inmates heard them. And Paul and Silas prayed. And the Bible said, and sang praises unto God. Capital G.
Amen.
Capital G. The God that was born of a virgin and died on the cross and lived sinlessly for 33 and a half years and was crucified and buried and rose on from the grave. And they sang praises to that God. And the prisoner, the Bible says, heard them. Let me say this. A lot of time our singing, not for ourselves. A lot of times our singing is not for the Lord. We always sing to the Lord and he hears us, but sometimes we sing for one another. How many times have you been blessed by a song?
Amen.
How many times have you been ministered to by a song? Some of us have songs, Christian songs or gospel songs that we hear, and immediately it reminds us of something. Amazing Grace ought to do it. Amazing Grace, if you study the word, if you saved and hear God, you know God's grace was amazing because like you heard Jeremy say, if it wasn't for God's grace, he'd be locked up somewhere. Who knows where he'd be?
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
If it wasn't for God, for the grace of God, somebody say, there go me.
Yes.
So when we hear Amazing Grace, immediately we chime in, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Now, if you don't think you're a wretch, you've been had it all together all your life, then the song may not mean that much to you. But it means a lot to me.
Amen.
And Paul knew that in Colossians 3 and 16. This is important. Because Paul said, some singing is horizontal. It's for me. It's for you. I hear a song, and that song ministered to me, and you find yourself singing it throughout the day. Paul said this. He said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. How? In psalms and hymns. Okay? In psalms and hymns. You can teach and admonish in psalms and hymns. This is why it's important to sing with understanding. It's important that the people that are singing understand who they're singing to and who God is. Okay? Then you can put a choir together. But there's nothing like folks singing that really understand God's grace. When Paul says singing with grace in your heart, here's a heart filled with the love of Christ. Now you hear that person singing that understands grace and understand that it's by grace are you saved through faith. And now that person singing with the grace of God in their heart, it's going to sound different. It may not sound, it may not be smooth and all that, but here's this person been through something. I always would tell the story of the two guys. Everyone got the same assignment. It was to preach Psalms 23, for the Lord is my shepherd. And the young boy got up there and he preached it and it was all right. But when the old man got up there and preached it, it was a whole different story. He brought everybody to their knees and folks was in there crying because he'd been through some stuff. And the young boy singing and he ain't been through nothing. And the longer you live, the more you go through, and the more you understand God's grace and his mercy. Okay? And you're going to sound different. And some folks will blow off the word of God down. You're young. Keep on living. Keep on living. Keep on burying folks. Keep on loving folks. And you're going to sing different.
Amen.
Your life going to be sweeter. See, and we don't like adversity. We want smooth sailing, but adversity makes us sweeter. Makes us sweeter. Paul said, let the word of God dwell in you richly. Richly. How about that's just soaking it up. Just be saturated in the word of God. And when you get a saturated Christian singing, now you got something.
Amen.
You got something. And they're singing spiritual songs, singing, I like this part, with grace in your hearts to the Lord. How about that? Paul said we ought to sing with grace in our hearts. Sing with grace in our hearts. In Ephesians 5 and 19, he said, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. We don't like to think about Paul as a singer, but I just gave you two verses where he sang. You think, I don't look at Paul as a singer. Well, I'm not sitting here thinking Paul got a mic on and he running around like Kirk Franklin. That's the picture that you get. That's not the picture that I get when I was listening to as Paul and Christ and David as a singer. They were singing out of life experiences. They were singing from the goodness of God. Not that Kirk Franklin's not. I don't know. I'm just saying these guys sang and they wrote scriptures. David was a writer of psalms and Paul was a writer of scriptures. And they sang, making melody in their hearts. Listen, I'm not going to be long today. I like that part, singing with understanding. I'm trying to get here. Why should I sing? Why should we praise God? How about that? Anybody got that question? Let me get Peter. Let me bring Peter in. I got Paul, got David, got Peter. Peter gives us four reasons why we ought to praise God. In 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. You have four reasons why you ought to praise God. Everybody here to save, you got these same four reasons, okay? Familiar verse. First of all, you're chosen. That's a reason to praise God. You're chosen. Second reason you ought to praise God, because you're a royal priesthood.
Amen.
Okay? Third reason you ought to praise God, because you are a holy nation. You are a people of God. The people of God are commanded to praise God. You don't really have an excuse.
Amen.
And the fourth reason, because Peter said we are a peculiar people. Okay? We don't sing like the world. We don't sing like the world. We sing glory to God in the highest. Now watch this now. So I put all that together. Peter gives us four reasons why we ought to praise God. Every believer ought to praise God. You ought to be like, I want to praise God. Pastor, when you put that praise team together, you put that choir together, call me. I want to make sure I'm there. I want to be a part of that. Peter said, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. And the fact that you are that's what he says. That you should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The very fact that we were lost on our way to hell in a world of trouble, and God called us and made us royalty and made us holy and made us his own peculiar people, we ought to show praises. Okay? Wait a minute. Let me rephrase that. Because that sounds like a suggestion. That's not a suggestion. That's a command, okay? That's a command statement. He said, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Amen.
What a tragedy. We might always ask people, you know, people, I don't know if they saved or not. I don't know if they saved or not. I don't know if they really know the Lord. I don't know if they've been born again. You can tell by that why they praise God. David was determined to praise God. Look at our verse. He said, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. How about that? David said, as long as air is flowing through my body, the air that God gave me, okay? The air, the breaths that God gave me, I'm going to give him all these breaths, okay? And I'm going to sing, and I'm going to give him my last one. He said, David said, my last breath that I breathe, I will breathe it out, giving glory to God. How about that? Do you think like that? Does anybody in here think like that? Like I said, this lesson really, really confronted me when I talk about David praising God. Let me tell you. What about folks that don't praise God? What does God's word say about folks that don't praise God? Maybe this contrasted, maybe this will help explain why it's so important that we praise God. Look what the word of God says about folks that don't praise God. And then I'm going to close with people that do it. I just want to throw this out there. He said, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusts in the Lord, mercy shall compass about him. Many sorrows. You ever see somebody that just can't get over nothing? Can't get over nothing. And they just hold on to sorrows all their lives. Why? Why? So many people, you know, people go into depression. They've been bereaving for years and years and years. Years and years and years. And, you know, they lost a loved one 20, 30, 40 years ago, and they still live like they have no hope. You know why? See, God gives us that assurance. He gives us that peace that passes all understanding. And the word of God said, we ought not mourn like the lost. When we have a loved one that dies and we know that they're in the hands of the Lord, we can move on. We can move on. David had a son that died. And when his son died, when his son was sick, David fasted, sackcloth, didn't eat. And when his son died, what did he do? He started eating again. He put on his clothes and he all put on his oil and he said this. Maybe I can't be with him now, but I'll go be with him later. Okay? Amen. And we ought not mourn so in a way. And I sit there and I know Shirley down there sick. Shirley already talked to me. She already said, Pastor, when I die, here's a verse of scripture I want you to do my eulogy with. How about that? And I'm going to do it too. If she do. When she do. I need to give her one of mine, just in case I go first. Listen, you never know, you're right. He says, be glad in the Lord. Rejoice, you righteous. Watch this now. Shout for joy. Shout for joy. Could you imagine hearing David sing? Could you imagine what that was like? And all he'd been through? How God has blessed him. And David, to write all these things he wrote. He loved the Lord. And for all of us in here to say we love the Lord, we ought to be praising. We ought to be upset. Anybody upset? We ought to be upset. We ought to be like, ooh, why ain't the choir singing? Why ain't they praising God? Why don't we have a praise team? Maybe I could trigger those thoughts by a sermon like this. I know some people, all that singing ain't necessary. We don't have all that singing. You know, I can do without all that singing. But singing is a big part of what the church does. Yeah. It's a big part of what church does. Psalm 147 said, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. Y'all understand what David was saying? He said, praise ye the Lord. It is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. That word comely means it becomes of a Christian. A Christian that don't sing praises to the Lord is not natural. Seriously. We open up them hymn books and you're sitting there and you're ho-hum, ho-hum, ho-hum. That's speaking volumes about who you are. Let me read that again. Somebody said, we're just running out of material. Praise ye the Lord. Is that a suggestion? For it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and comely. Why? Because God wants to hear us praise him. He wants our praise. You know what we do? We praise men. We praise women. We praise Hollywood. We praise our favorite politicians. And we praise our football teams. And we praise our basketball teams. And we praise a whole lot of stuff. But the one who saved our soul, who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, chose us when we weren't looking to be chose, should get our praise. Should get our praise. Should get our praise. David said, I was determined to praise God. And we need to be determined to praise God. Watch this now. I'll give you some more, a couple of verses I'm going to set down. And all this is about David praising God. I'm going to talk about David for the next couple of weeks. But David said this. He said, my heart is fixed. Psalm 57:7. He said, my heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations, for thy mercy is great unto heavens and thy truth unto clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. What's David talking about? It's important that we sing praises to God. You know, people listen, you know, and they say, man, you listen to radio all the time. I listen to music now. My music has changed. And I listen to music that I can understand. I want to hear songs that God, give God glory. Talk about God. Talk about the scriptures. Some of the stuff, whatever your flavor. Okay? But some of the stuff that's coming out now, I don't hear God. I don't hear Jesus. I don't hear the Lord being lifted up and magnified. That's almost it's so close to being R&B and hip hop. I can't understand it. Amen. And my appetite for the word of God and my appetite for song has changed. I listen to songs now that give God glory. Talk about Jesus. John 3:16. I want to hear it. He said, my glory. He said, wake up my glory and praise the Lord. How about that? Well, I ran through it all. Can't find anything else to say about how important it is to praise God. So some of y'all get on the phone today. Say, Claire, where was you at today? Pastor was preaching about you. And some of us in here, we said, well, you know, I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I can put the choir together. I don't know. Listen, let me tell you something. If God put it on your heart to do, he's going to give you what it takes to do it.
Amen.
And that's important. See, a lot of people say, well, you know, that ain't my call. That ain't my gift. You know, that ain't me. Listen, it's about God. And if you do it in your own strength, it'll be about you. Okay? God wants you to do the impossible. That way, when it's all said and done, you know who get the credit? Know who get the glory? God will. So people sit there and say, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that. You right where God wants you at. You right where God wants you at. Know why? Because now you won't depend on yourself. You'll depend on God. And it'll come out a whole lot sweeter. It'll come out a whole lot sweeter. Okay. I do have some more verses, but I'm going to close. I just want you guys to understand the importance of praising God. If we're going to be a man or woman after God's heart, then we ought to praise God. We got to be determined to praise God. And we ought to say, like David said, I will sing unto the Lord. And so I don't have nothing to sing about. Yes, you do. The very fact that you're sitting here breathing God's air, Amen. You have something to sing about. You have something to sing about. And you sit here and Michael walking here with them two little boys, he got something to sing about.
Amen.
The two little boys, they bring them into church and they love them and they call them daddy.
Amen.
You got something to praise God about.
Amen.
And then you got an opportunity to raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And I can look around here and the rest of you guys, I know God's been good to you guys.
Amen.
And you got to thank God for it. I see Roy sitting here buried his mother last week. Yeah, he had 88 years to be with her. 87? 88 years. 88 Thanksgivings. 88 Christmases. You didn't have 88. She was here 88 Christmases. You had what? Only about 70 with her? You understand that? You understand that? You know, we look around and we're going to bury some folks, but you know what? Thank God. I tell people all the time, thank God for a mother. Thank God for a father.
Amen.
I only had my mother 57 years. 57 years. Think about it. Had my dad for 85 years. God's been good to us. And we ought to praise God. The good and in the bad. In the bad. Precious, precious Lord, we just thank you this morning.